Welcome back to Do Ladies Do That. I'm Molly.
And I'm Becca, and we're just two queer people who want to take our discussions about LGBTQ plus media out of the DMs and into a podcast. For today's episode, we're discussing the 1995 film directed by Maria Magenti, The Incredibly True Adventure of Two Girls in Love. It's a cute little love story between two teenage girls, Evie, who is portrayed by Nicole Ari Parker, and Randy Dean, portrayed by Laurel Holman, who you'll know if you're an L Word fan. Both are from different social and economic backgrounds and going through the adventure of young queer love and the judgments that they face.
Yeah. I loved this film a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I only watched it last summer, maybe, like when I was watching the L Word. And it's just a cute little love story.
Yeah.
You know, like nothing majorly bad happens. You have the aspect of the homophobia coming in and the judgments and everything, but it's just like two teenagers who love each other.
It's got really comedic undertones as well.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout even the darker stuff.
Yeah.
Therapy and stuff is mentioned. Like, oh, we'll send you to therapy, we'll get you a good therapist. Like, it's not... I don't know, it was quite funny to watch.
I was laughing a little bit because I just rewatched it again so that I could do notes and properly discuss it. And when Randy was rollerblading, I just got roller skates. That's not why I got them.
Are you at Randy's skill level yet?
No.
Anywhere near to that?
No. I can do a wee bit. I can't stop.
Oh, well, that's a bit of a problem.
So I can't go anywhere busy or where loads of people are yet because I just can't stop. I've not quite figured out how to stop.
Yeah, I want to learn how to skateboard. I got given as like a birthday present when I was like 9 and I was never able to use it because I just wasn't very talented. But now I'm like, oh, I'm actually going to take this out to the park and just have a go at it. But, you know, I didn't really want to spend a couple of hours at A&E, so maybe not yet.
I mean, I get that. I love that Randy's entire family was queer.
Same.
Even though it was kind of a chosen family because it was the aunt.
No, we don't know about the dad, but we know that the mum is some sort of very religious figure who sends her birthday cards with, like, I don't know, like, anti-abortion stuff in it. And, you know, obviously that's not the greatest environment to... grow up in as a queer teen or any teen, to be honest. So
yeah, and I think it did highlight chosen family in a literal sense as well, because it was her auntie and then her auntie's girlfriend and then her auntie's ex-girlfriend.
Is that who she was? Because I was really puzzled.
Yeah,
the other woman at first, because I think I might have just like skipped over that, but then a bit later on, she was like, they were having like a bit of a disagreement, the two aunts, like by the sink. And, you know, Rebecca was saying how she's always said that she's open to inviting people in when they need it. And I think that's something that a lot of queer people stand by.
Yeah.
Because they've needed it themselves and required it, and it's often not been an option. So I like that they did kind of welcome people in with open arms when needed, even if it wasn't the most comfortable situation.
Uncomfortably, in general, for me, was that things haven't really changed. Like, even today, people still need to find other queer people to find a place of comfort and home, and it's so strange that, well, this film's now, what, 25 years old, and it's still very...
Whoa, 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 that's so weird.
Well, 26.
That's just like, for some reason I was expecting you to say like 15.
Nah. The issues that are faced in it are timeless. And they shouldn't be. Well, they should have never existed to begin with, but they did, and they should be solved, but they're not in today's society.
I think as time's gone on, families have become more accepting, which is a great thing, but...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether we'll ever feel like truly comfortable like we do around other queer people.
In our lifetime, probably not.
Yeah, no, like I feel like there's still gonna be, I don't wanna say like segregation, because it's like a lot of queer people like stay around queer people. And it doesn't mean that it's because we don't think straight people are accepting.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some that aren't, but it's because like a different, there's just a level of relatability and comfortability.
Yeah, there's a mutual understanding of what's going on and what could happen, and
yeah,
and that was something that was sort of brought up as well in the film, is that when they're in the cafe, Evie doesn't understand that they could be attacked for holding hands,
yeah,
in such an open space in the 90s, and it's such a real scene. Like, I remember being on a date when I was 17, maybe 18, or just about 18, and we were in my hometown, but they'd got a train to me, so it wasn't their hometown, and they wanted to hold hands, and I was like, I can't do that here. There was just this gap of, they weren't in their hometown, so they felt comfortable enough that nobody knew them, but I was, so I couldn't in case somebody saw me. And Evie didn't understand that.
Yeah.
It was all new to her. And clearly she lived a sheltered life, and then you can kind of tell that by her mum's reaction later on, that her mum just wasn't accepting, so it wasn't brought up and it wasn't known, whereas Randy was brought up or lives with her aunts, and you see the difference in seeing three other or two other queer women and Randy herself being queer, going through life and realising all the different things that could happen.
It's so true though. I'm glad that they included that, because for example, when I was younger, like say 15, I didn't really have any fears about being gay in public, because I hadn't had any negative experiences and nobody had said anything to me or called me anything. If anyone looked when me and my ex were holding hands, like, I didn't care. But because we were really young, like, it didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Just as I'd come out, it was, like, just sort of new territory. But now, it's, like, a whole different story, because there's been experiences and it's, like, you have a whole different mindset,
mm-hmm,
to when you first come out. Oh, well, it can work in different ways, though, but for me personally, I've got, like, from when I came out, I was carefree and, like, I didn't really know of anything that could happen to me, and now I'm 19, it's like, oh, there's a lot of potential dangers.
Yeah, I think that's the thing when you first realise, is that a lot of people don't know the background and don't know the history.
Yeah.
And then as you're looking into it, because you're trying to find people like you or stories or whatever like you, it's like, oh my god, like, people are actually being killed for this.
Yeah, or you don't think it'll ever happen to you.
Yeah. I believe, but I'm not 100% certain, that quite a few now big names, and queer big names at that, worked on this film.
I thought that the actress who played Rebecca was Tig Notaro, and I've just realised that it wasn't in the slightest.
There was little bits and pieces that just sort of encapsulates the whole queer experience, because Evie's mum was asking her if she had anything to tell her, and Evie like panicked, and it's like this gay panic of, oh my god, they know.
Yeah.
And I used to do that all the time. My mum would be like having a conversation with me and I'm like, she knows.
Yeah, and it'll be like, come here, like, in a really serious tone, and then it'll be like, why is your plate still in your room? Like, it would just be absolutely gone.
Yeah.
But you just dread, it's like the biggest secret that you're keeping in, and it really never is it? But it just gives you this, like, so much anxiety, this massive surge of it, and
yeah,
I remember it well. Another thing I wanted to really touch on were the comments from the friends.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to Randy at first saying how maybe if you dressed less like a man or looked less like a man, and it didn't rub it in people's faces or something like that. Oh, that angered me so much.
Yeah.
And also the reactions to when Evie said that, basically came out to them and they were just really taken aback by it and disgusted and made some really horrible comments. But the thing, it was very much like a follow the leader situation. Very clicky.
Yeah, and I think that's the way it is.
It still is that way a lot of the time. The third girl, I think she was actually supportive, but just was scared of going against the group and, like, the conformity issues that came with it.
Yeah. I get you, because I think often people just sort of follow the crowd. And like if one person starts shouting slurs or whatever at somebody, then another person will join in and another person will join in. It takes that one person to say something or to not educate people, because it's not really education because it's not true, but maybe lead people in a way to believe that that's acceptable or that's the right way to react or behave.
And the friendship group in the film, one of their main concerns was the fact that they weren't allowed to tell anyone, like they weren't allowed to use it as gossip and they weren't allowed to share it with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I think in high school though, gossip is your main form of, it's a bit like a weapon, isn't it?
Yeah.
You thrive off it, and every day at lunchtime, like, well, what's new? What's happened today? You know, it's constant, but as you get older, I've found that I don't really care for it anymore. I'd rather stay out of it, whereas back then, I'd rather, like, be in it front and centre, and I did participate in it, but then looking back, I'm like, oh my word, like, that is, it just causes so much drama. And that was their main concern, and it was very typical of, like, a high school friendship group that they were mostly upset that they weren't allowed to use it as leverage, you know, got to share it with people to gain some sort of popularity. I think that's a case for many queer people though, like, our sexuality is used as gossip. It's like, oh, did you know this person's come out as gay? Did you know this person's... But we don't go, oh, do you know this person's straight? It's not used as gossip, like, unless you're queer. This big revelation, and I get it, because, not gonna lie, if someone comes out like a celebrity, I'm like, oh my gosh. But it's not because I want to use it as gossip, it's because I'm, like, excited about it.
Yeah. I was like, oh my god, there's one of us. The only other point that I have, which is kind of funny, is that when I first watched the film, I made a playlist because I did love it, and that's just what you do. And my playlist is entitled Randy Dean is the kind of gal I would have fallen for at 16. Which is the kind of gal that I would have fallen for at 16.
Yeah.
Maybe like a year or so above me at school. Just sort of see her across the corridor. Like never interacted. Would have done absolutely nothing about this little crush that I had. And then just thought about her for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And be like, imagine if I just told her when I was 16. She's so lovable. And there's these character flaws that every character should have. I don't know whether to call it an insecurity or just like a wiseness to know that the world isn't really that safe for her.
I think she's just very self-aware, but also unwilling to change. But I think that's because, like, a huge factor in that is because her family that she lives with are queer. Yeah. If she didn't live with them and was around homophobic people 24/7 or people who didn't accept queer lifestyles or queer people, that could well be different. But obviously she's going home to a safe space.
Yeah.
That can help so much.
And it's comfortable being around other queer people because there's this mutual understanding of everything that's going on. So going home to that and knowing that home is a safe space, or as safe as it can be in 90s America.
It's a stark realisation that, well, not a stark realisation, but like a, you can remember that the world's the problem, not you.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing that I think when you're a target of a homophobic attack in some sense, or a slur, or any sort of homophobia, it can shock you into thinking you are the problem for like the split second. Like everything you've learned and everything you know can go out the window because something's just happened to you. And I know that's how I've felt in the past, where like as suddenly this internalised homophobia like leaps out. But then other times I'm like, it's like the complete opposite, because I'm like, hold on, why are you saying that to me? You're the one in the wrong. Like, it's dependent on the situation, really, and how I'm feeling at that time. But
yeah,
I just love that she had a queer family to go back to. And but they didn't get on like a house on fire, do you know what I mean? Like, they did argue, and it was a typical family, like, situation. Like, they were mad at her when she was failing school, and it wasn't all pitch perfect, but they were accepting of her sexuality, and that is the main part. Because I think there's this perception that queer families are going to be like the perfect parents. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's like,
it is a picture perfect family. It just so happens that instead of a mum and a dad, there's a
yeah
mum and a mum, or a dad and a dad, or whatever. Yeah,
when people say queer families that are arguing or not getting on, it's like it becomes a reflection of sexualities rather than...
Yeah, it's like, you're the worst people ever, this is why queer people shouldn't have kids.
Yeah, yeah, it reflects badly on queer people.
Yeah.
And it can cause a lot of anxiety for queer people to think, like, oh, that people are thinking that way about us and that's how we're going to end up. But it's just a typical family unit.
Yeah.
Probably could have explained that better, but...
No, I get you.
It annoys me because I always see comments on social media if there's a film and there's an argument between like two mums or two dads, it's always a reflection of their identity and sexual orientation.
An argument between two people.
Like, you wouldn't say to straight people, like, oh, it's because you're a man and a woman together. Like, if you were two women together, this wouldn't have happened. Like, it's never that. It's always the opposite.
Yeah, literally.
And that annoys me so much because it's just, like, very, like, deflating and, like, ugh, I don't know. It's just, yeah.
No, I get you.
Got a long way to go in that aspect.
What would you give it out of 10 stars?
I'd give it a good 9.
Ooh, nice.
I'd never heard of the film before watching it. I'd seen clips of Randy or, you know, Laurel on Twitter, but I had no idea what film it was from. I didn't know it was a queer film. I thought it was just a film with Laurel in it. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know where it was from. When we had to watch it for this podcast, I didn't really know what to expect. I hadn't even read up on it, to be honest. I just went into it.
Other than Laurel Holloman.
Yeah. And at first, I was like, a bit confused when like the ex came in and I was like, who's that? I thought they were the thruple. Yeah, I didn't really know what was going on in that.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the difference between Randy and Evie and how I just love Evie, to be honest, mainly. Like, I love Randy too, but Evie has like a bit of a soft spot for me.
See, this is why I love chatting with you, because whenever there's two characters, I always choose one and you always choose the other. And it's just who we like to.
Literally. I don't know, I just love their like attitude towards... She seems just like a lovely person. Like, I'd want to be a friend.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because she's not like everyone else who judges people without knowing them. And she's one of like the populars, isn't she? She's...
Yeah. Oh, I just remembered... They stuck with the other stereotype that gays can't do maths.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that.
It's just literally because you mentioned friends. Randy's saying to her friend, can you do my maths homework?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do sort of stand by that stereotype for myself.
Yeah, me too.
Wish I could defeat it. Yeah, I just about passed by, like, the skin of my teeth, so...
I passed the third time. Third time lucky.
But you passed, that's the main thing. But yeah, I just love how the scene where Randy's very hyper-aware and like, are you sure you're okay with this? Like, with me being gay, like, with me liking girls, and she's like, why wouldn't I be? Like, it's just this obliviousness to why it might not be okay. Like, she doesn't understand that, and I can't imagine being so sheltered. Like, it is a bit mind-blowing. Some people take that as a bad thing, but I think a lot of the time it can be a really good thing, because you can form your own opinions,
yeah,
and from scratch, rather than having to reform and change your opinions from what they used to be. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get you. I would give it an 8 or a 9, I think.
Ooh, okay, why?
I don't think much happened. I don't know. There was just a couple of bits and pieces that I was like, would you need that or could it be done in a different way? I'm not judging it majorly because I loved it. Like, really, truly. It's the lighthearted kind of feel-good film that I'm constantly saying that I want to watch. So I'm not judging it too harshly, but it's just, for whatever reason, not up to that 10. I don't really know. Something was just missing. And I don't know what was missing, but for me, something was missing, which takes it down to your 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there was like a 5-part storyline, but it wasn't too significant that it was unbelievable.
It had like the perfect mix.
I've watched some films and I know that for you, one of them was I Care a Lot, and it was just like, no, like you sort of lost interest like halfway through because it was just too much.
I gave up so many times for that. I was like, oh,
like so unbelievable.
That's what makes this so good, because it is
a comfort film. Like, you can see yourself in it. And
yeah, I could be going to that high school. I could have been either one of those girls.
Yeah.
I probably was at one point.
Mm-hmm.
It is just that feel-good film, so I don't really know why it doesn't get the full... I don't even want to say something was missing, but something was missing, and I don't know what it was.
As you say, like, some things... It could have worked without some things happening.
Yeah, or some things happening in a different way, or...
Yeah, when they came in towards the end and her husband, I think that was more for, like, the comical aspect.
That's, again, up to interpretation, because I didn't see the husband coming in and attacking her, being... comedy. I just saw it as, here's another homophobic attack,
because he's like threatening to kill her, and when you think of that in the actual situation, like threatening to kill a queer person, that's a hate crime. Like, that's, well, threatening to kill a person is bad enough, do you know what I mean? But,
and a 17-year-old. Like,
yeah,
but yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
I think it was meant to be comical because of her, like, Wendy's personality, and like then he's like the typical bloke.
Oh, yeah.
The whole, I don't know, I did see it from both, I can see it from both viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it could have worked without that, and they could have figured out a way to do the ending differently. I do like when everyone turned up at the resort, like the motel, and just like was banging on everyone's doors, and when the two old ladies like, did our husband send you, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was comical. I love a good motel scene because you never know what's going to be there.
I did like the two old ladies because it was like, are they queer too?
Yeah, I thought that, but then, I don't know.
Well, yeah, they'd go to a motel to get away from their husbands.
Yeah, true, yeah.
It captured a queer young love story, which you don't see very often. I think maybe like Love, Simon and Love, Victor.
Mm.
But again, that's not really like women. I think because lesbians... are over-sexualized, often you don't get the young love stories of it. But anyway, it was the type of film that I wish that I'd seen when I was younger, because it would have just made everything that little bit easier. But I saw it later, and I still love it, so it's okay.
It's something you can watch in the background as well, like, without paying too much attention to what's going on. Like, a nice little easy-going film where you don't need to think too hard. And... sometimes you just need that, because a lot of queer films are quite intense.
Yeah.
Obviously, there is homophobia in this, but...
pretty much all of it, but it's nothing too graphic or too unsettling. I guess because you're kind of numb to it when it comes to stuff like that.
Who's your favourite character, then, who isn't Randy or Evie? I know mine is.
I think Randy's friend, whose name I literally can't remember right now.
Frank.
Frank. I think Frank, because everybody needs a Frank.
So true. For me, it was Regina, who worked at the like gas station with her.
Do you know those memes that are like lesbian and lesbian protector? That was her.
Yeah, she was so unbothered by everything. She just sat there and listened, or just had this resting bitch face, and I just liked that duo, and like, I think she acted a bit like a mum in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously her aunties did, but I don't know, I just saw Regina as like a bit like a mother figure to her as well.
Yeah.
Like, she was comfortable to tell her his sexuality.
Yeah, and with Evie as well, because she was like, please let me go, please.
Yeah, with Evie.
So I think we've covered that ladies do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all for this episode.
For our next episode, we will be talking about the Netflix series, which only unfortunately has one season, called Everything Sucks. You've probably heard of it. Both of us have watched it, I think.
Yeah. It was the first thing I ever saw with teenage lesbians. Yeah.
Really? Yeah, and my love for Sydney sort of came from that, so. So join us then, and we hope you enjoyed this episode.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at DLDT Podcast for all our podcast updates. Be sure to leave us a review on iTunes, because it really helps out the podcast. You can listen to us on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And join us next time, where we will continue the question,
Do ladies do that? Bloody hell.
Bloody hell.